to moving beyond spiritual lethargy is found in this day and in what we're doing today and why we're doing it. I want to focus in on three aspects. I want us to look first at the role of fasting. Why we fast? What is the importance of fasting? Why does God want people to fast? If you were to tell someone in the world that you're fasting, they would say, well, you better be careful. I understand the police are out with radar guns. Better not go too fast. Most people wouldn't understand what fasting is. They would think you're going to get out on the road and drive fast. And others who maybe would realize what you were going to do would think, well, boy, that's crazy. Why, you'll starve to death. You can't live a day without food and water. Oh, yes, you can. You live quite a few days, unless you're in some sort of... on the Day of Atonement. As Mr. Rice alluded to in the sermonette, is one I think probably all of us are glad that God chose to make a feast of 7 days and a fast of 1 day, rather than vice versa. But we are here on a very special day, a day that plays a very crucial and important part in God's great plan. In recent weeks, we have focused in on the importance of being spiritually alert, spiritually awake. We have focused in many different areas. We've looked at the responsibility that we have and on the some of the keys that can enable us to be spiritually alert as we ought. We've looked at some of the dilemmas of faith that we face and the fact that, simply put, the just shall live by faith. The just must walk by faith. This day of atonement, plays a very crucial part in the understanding of the solution, what we find ourselves struggling with in terms of a spiritual lethargy, because the real key, one of the most vital keys to moving beyond spiritual lethargy, is found in this day and in what we're doing today and why we're doing it. I want to focus in on three aspects. I want us to look first at the role of fasting. Why we fast? What is the importance of fasting? Why does God want people to fast? If you were to tell someone in the world that you're fasting, they would say, well, you better be careful. I understand the police are out with radar guns. Better not go too fast. Most people wouldn't understand what fasting is. They think you're going to get out on the road and drive fast. And others who maybe would realize what you were going to do would think, well, boy, that's crazy. Why, you'll starve to death. You can't live a day without food and water. Oh, yes, you can. You live quite a few days, unless you're in some sort of adverse condition. If you're out in the middle of the Mojave Desert or something, you probably dehydrate rather quickly. But under normal conditions, people can get by much longer than they think. But why would God even want us to fast? What is the role of fasting? We need to understand that. Then we need to go on beyond. As we begin to understand a little more about the importance of fasting and the role of fasting, then we need to understand why we fast on atonement. All right, fasting is important. We can see where fasting fits in and why God places emphasis on fasting and what it is we're to get out of fasting. But why would God want us to fast on the Day of Atonement? What does fasting have to do with this particular day and what it means in pictures? Because that's something also that we need to understand. Not only why the role of fasting, but why we fast on atonement, and then to understand in even greater detail, what is it that the Day of Atonement foreshadows? Now, to begin with, if we're going to examine fasting, let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Here's a scripture that I read the first verse. Here's a chapter I read the first verse of on the Day of Trumpets. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin." So we focused on that, on the Feast of Trumpets. And certainly that verse ties in with the Feast of Trumpets. God's ministry is told to cry aloud like a trumpet because a trumpet was used in ancient times as a signal of alarm, a signal of warning. God's ministry is to cry aloud, to sound an alarm, to sound a warning for God's people. That's part of the role of being a shepherd, a guardian of the flock. And that ties in with the Day of Trumpets, but it goes on in verse 2, and it says, "Yet they seek me," speaking of the people, "they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God." Verse 3, "Wherefore have we fasted?" say they. And you don't see. "Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? And you take no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. You fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness." Now, we go from sounding the trumpet of alarm right into the role of fasting. And the importance, the fact that fasting can be done in a manner that is effective, and fasting can be done in a manner that is not effective. Here it talks about people who were going through the motions of religion. They went through the motions of seeking God and looking to God and seemed like a nation that was trying to do what they ought to do. At least they paid lip service to it. And in verse 3 they said, "You know, here we've done all this and you don't notice, God. We've fasted. We've afflicted our souls. And nothing can get us. Things are still the same." Verse 4, God said, "You fast for the wrong reasons, for strife and debate." So people can fast to try to get their way. Fasting is not a hunger strike. Some areas, prisoners, particularly this has been common among political prisoners, have gone on hunger strikes to get their way. Some of the IRA terrorists that were imprisoned in Northern Ireland used to do that up until the fact that Mrs. Thatcher was Prime Minister of Britain, and her response was that that's fine. If they don't want to eat, just let them alone. Prior to that time, they had attempted to force-feed them and do things, and after one or two starved to death, they decided that wasn't an effective tactic, and they quit. You know, people can fast in the sense of a hunger strike, try to get their own way. They can fast for strife and debate. Sometimes people can do that in the spiritual realm as well as in the physical realm. They sort of the concept that somehow, if I punish myself enough, if I do this penance, God is going to look down and he's going to feel sorry for me, he's going to relent, and he's only going to give me what I ask for. Because in some cases, some have sort of viewed fasting as almost like a penance, in the concept that this is the way that we should relate to it, and that's not true. So some fast for the wrong reasons. Others, verse 3, it talks about, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure in exact all your labors. Here's talking about people who are fasting, and yet they're going around and pursuing their normal daily living, and they're going to have a spiritual aspect to their